Hey, everybody, Locked On Badgers. Dylan Graff back on the show. We're going to talk about Max Klesmann. Is he the starting shooting guard next year? All that and way more on today's Locked On Badgers.
You are Locked On Badgers, your daily podcast on the Wisconsin Badgers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to Locked On Badgers, your daily source for all your Badgers basketball, football news. Thank you so much for joining us. As always, free and available wherever you get your podcasts, free and available on YouTube. Also, thank you to Bet Online for sponsoring this show. Bet Online has you covered this season with more props, odds, and lines than ever before. Bet Online, where the game starts. And as promised, we have Mr. Dylan Graff coming on the show, USA Today Badger Wire. We're going to chop it up. We told you guess we're going to chop it up with Max Klesmann. And I just want to kick it to Dylan to start with. Is this our starting shooting guard next year?
I am of the opinion that it is. I think when you get a chance to bring in a player like this with 2 years of experience and as a high-level scorer both years, I mean, he was a significant contributor as a freshman as well. My expectation is that this will be the starting two guard. He replaces a lot of the things that Brad Davison leaves behind.
So 6'3"-ish coming out of Wofford, averaged about 15 points a game. I want to dive into the film a little bit because I introduced him a little bit as news before. So we've talked about Klesmann coming in, who he is, where he came from. But I definitely wanted to wait for you to really talk about his game. I think you have really good insight into the players' games and you really dive into some of the film study of it. Can you break it down, what he brings to the table a little bit more?
I think that what he is going to give you is a player that you can run off screens, set pin downs, a guy who can really go out and hunt his shot. And obviously Badger fans know last year we struggled shooting beyond the arc. He's someone who I think comes in and honestly might instantly be our best shooter. I mean, he was a high volume 3-point shooter at Wofford and he won't have to carry that same weight at Wisconsin. And so he'll get a lot cleaner looks. And with that, I think his percentages will go up even. Honestly, I think this is a player whose 3-point shooting is probably significantly better than the percentage he shot last year. He made 68 threes a year ago. I think that he's someone who you can run off screens. But beyond that, when his man's trailing, he can get downhill. He's got a little bit of a playmaking ability. Mm-hmm. He's a pretty strong finisher for his size. He's not a one-trick pony. His game, in a lot of ways, does remind me of Brad Davison offensively. You know, he does well on his pivot foot. He keeps his pivot. His ability as a passer, too. He's got a little bit of – he's not a point guard, you know, and I don't even really truly think he's a combo guard either. I think he is a shooting guard who can bring the ball up, who could handle the ball if necessary. But I think what we're looking at here is a true shooting guard.
Then which fills a need. I think the form is great. You know, he shot 80-something% from the free throw line. Usually that translates really well to the other areas of shooting, you know, 34-ish% from three. One of the things I saw about him that I really liked is he does have a little – he's not just a catch and shoot guy, right? He has a little bit of step-back ability. I think the mid-range is pretty good. I actually think there's a lot of offensive versatility here. Now, where I'm concerned a little bit is the physicality and the athleticism on the defensive end. Like Brad Davison, no one's going to step in and replace just the tenaciousness there. When we have Chucky Hepburn on the court, who is a stout but a little shorter dude, right, just for a Big Ten guard, and then you pair him with Klesmann, who's not a long, lanky guard, and he's not a big leaper, he's not really physical, you know, defensively, I think we might have some issues there guarding more athletic, bigger backcourts in the Big Ten.
And I definitely understand that viewpoint. I do think that a lot of teams around college basketball are going a little bit smaller in their backcourts. Mm-hmm. So I'm a little bit less concerned about that. And especially at a school like Wisconsin, they're so systematic with their defense. You know, they have a lot of guys who can switch if they're out of position, especially a guy like Tyler Wall, you know, helps with that because he can switch onto wings. Chucky is 6'2". He can switch. I think that those are very real concerns, and I'm still looking to unpack, you know, watching some of his film, trying to understand what he is as a defender. But I don't have as much concern because everyone knows that Falls Wisconsin basketball, they follow the rules. You go over top of ball screens, you play drop coverage, you never give up the baseline, you force them in the middle. They have these rules, and they've gotten a lot more defensively with a lot less over the years. So until I see it fail, I guess I'm just not going to be concerned about that from day one. I do think what he offers defensively will ultimately determine whether or not he's you know, playing 25, 30 minutes a game, or if he's kind of like a sixth man for this team.
Yeah, that's very well put. The system and the scheme are in place to really help people succeed. What about offensively? We talked about the shooting. We talked a little bit about the versatility. I want to dive a little bit more into what his ceiling may be. You know, I think he has some, as you mentioned, some secondary playmaking ability. You see that off the dribble. Like, he can make some passes that are a little unique for a shooting guard, but he also has a turn assist to turnover ratio that is not that strong at a lower level of basketball. Is this a guy who has a ceiling to grow into a 15-point scorer at the Big Ten level, or is his ceiling is more of a third or fourth scorer?
I think that his ceiling is probably a little closer to a third scorer, potentially the second leading scorer on a team down the road. He actually spoke with Jeff Patricus earlier this week and kind of made mention that he has 3 years of eligibility and he intends on using them. So Wisconsin picked up a guy here who we can likely expect to get 3 years from. And I think because of that, I do view his ceiling as a little bit higher given that extra year. He comes in with a lot of experience, but he is going to be transitioning to a higher level of basketball. And Wofford is a good mid-major program, but even at that, it's going to be a bit of a leap. I think that he'll be able to make that transition no problem. I think probably this coming year, he's more like the fourth guy, you know, maybe with the potential to be the third potentially. But I think in the future, he could be a second or third leading scorer, no problem.
So last year, we talked about this before last time you were on the show. Excuse me. The shooting last year was just terrible. I mean, it was just abysmally bad outside of really Davison and as for stretches, Brad Davis or Hepburn had some stretch or Johnny Davis or Hepburn had some stretches. When you look at the recent moves, you know, not just from the transfer portal, Kamari McGee came in, Klesmet comes in, Connor Asigian, you know, the 2022 kid, Blackwell, the 2023 kid. Is this a conscious effort to improve the shooting across the board, or is this more of, am I connecting dots that maybe necessarily aren't there?
No, I think that absolutely is the case. I mean, with college basketball in general, it's all about being able to space the floor and get high percentage shots at the rim. And Wisconsin hangs their hat on taking high percentage shots, taking care of the basketball. And obviously they're heavily reliant on the three. And last year they didn't hit it. Thankfully, they were able to mitigate that with taking care of the ball so well and getting to the free throw line at a high clip. But without a guy like Johnny Davis getting to the free throw line as much as we saw last year, I think that being able to hit the three is going to be all that more important this year and every year thereafter as well. I do think that this is a conscious effort. I mean, they went out and just offered, forgive me here, drawing a blank, Jamie Kaiser, sharpshooter, and they just had him on campus. Another guy who could really come into the program right away if they were able to lock him down. And they are making an effort. A lot of the guys that they've pursued in the transfer portal or touched base with have been shooters. I think they are trying to correct this, and I do think there are a couple in-house options that will improve as well.
And we're going to touch on that later. That is called a tease, folks. This guy is a professional. We're going to touch on some of that later. One more question on Klesmet. Over under next year, 10 points a game.
I'm going to take the under, but not by much. I do think that next year will be a pretty balanced attack between Chucky, Kral, and Wall. I think he comes in somewhere just below that, maybe around 8 or 9 points. I'd love to be wrong. I'd love for it to be more, but I think it'll be a pretty balanced attack. I think he'll probably come just below.
Yeah, I think I'm just a little higher. I think I'm going to buy that. I think it's just right above 10, just because they need the shooting.
I'd love to see it. I think they will make a conscious effort to manufacture touches for him. He was a high usage guy at Wofford, and I think they can expect him to do a lot of the things that Brad did out on the wing at the two spot.
Yeah, I think I'm going to take the over slightly on that one. All right, guys, coming up, we're going to keep this conversation with Dylan going, obviously, keep him as long as humanly possible. Next up, but we're going to talk about what's next for the Badgers on the recruiting transfer department. So we've landed a few kids. What's coming up next? First, today's show is brought to you by BetOnline. BetOnline remains your number one source for all your sports wagering, gambling needs. Great time to do it, guys. NBA playoffs, the Phoenix Suns play later tonight. I've been all over them. Got great value when Devin Booker went down with a hamstring. They were the favorites. Booker went down. I was able to pounce on that. That's the type of stuff you guys can do if you're sharp with this, you're paying attention. You can get in on spots where people panic a little bit. Look at the NFL futures, right? We've talked about the Bengals being a little undervalued, the 49ers being a little undervalued. Baseball's going on. Are you going to buy the early season swoon for the Braves? That team won the World Series last year. The season's not that old. You can get great value on them if you think they're a bounce-back candidate. They have a great GM, and Ronald Acuña just came back. So lots of fun opportunities, guys, and it's not just sports gambling. It's Vegas games, blackjack, 21, roulette. Everything's there. Head to the website today. Use your mobile device to learn more about the trends and the actions. Bet online where the game starts. Thank you guys again for making Locked On Badgers your first listen every day. We're going to bring Dylan Graff, USA Today Badger Wire, back on. And as always, we want to give you the opportunity to let people know where they can find your work, buddy.
I do most of my writing over at the Badger Wire for USA Today. And dropping later this week, I will be creating my own Substack that goes through Badger basketball film, you know, breaking down the offensive system, Greg Gard's playbook a little bit, the defensive system, kind of how it operates, and be a lot of film and analytical based stuff for anyone who wants to subscribe to that. It'll be badgernotes.substack.com.
That's going to be awesome. Cause I actually want to get into some specific defensive questions with you regarding this, the scheme and the fit. I'm not sure if we'll have time to do it today though. I want to talk about, we brought in, obviously we've talked about the two transfers. We've talked about Kamari McGee. We've talked about Klesmet, and we talked about some of the recruiting news, Connor Seagy in the 22 class, Blackwell in the 23 class. What's the next domino, in your opinion, to drop? And what is the next item the Badgers need to take care of this offseason to have a successful run here?
Well, for this offseason, I think that it is going to be imperative that they land a transfer big man. There have not been a lot of names floated recently. I think it could be another Chris Vogt situation where it just kind of comes out of nowhere in mid-May, and we land somebody who is being brought in specifically to be a reserve big man. But I think that would help this team out tremendously. It's such a huge need right now. Chris Hodges, I think in a perfect world, waits one more year before having to see the court. I think that would be massive for his development. I think that's what we need immediately. That, or the Badgers are actively pursuing transfer wings in the transfer portal. You know, they recently reached out to Georgetown transfer Donald Carey. They've reached out to D2 transfer Max Jones. You know, there are a lot of teams that are showing interest in those guys, but I think Wisconsin's kind of showed their hand there, that they're interested in somebody who can come in and play on the wing right away, ideally someone who can shoot. On the recruiting trail, I think that there are a couple options. One that Badger fans probably know all very well is Gus Yeldon, who is actively on an official visit to Wisconsin and has long had ties to the program. He has kind of mentioned and he might like to kind of whittle things down this summer and maybe make a decision here in the coming months. So getting him on campus and knowing that he grew up a fan of the Badgers is substantial. I would not be shocked if he is the kind of player who did end up at Wisconsin. His heart has been with the program for a long time, and now the Badgers are showing him the love that he, you know, deserves now that he's come back from injury. I think he would be a massive, massive hit for the program.
Yeah, let me break in there. Two things I want to jump on that you mentioned. The first one is I love Gus Yeldon. So I, for a long time, I know his recruitment has gone in, I don't want to say strange ways. Like, I think at times people who follow recruiting as closely as we do and as hardcore fans do take for granted all the different things that happen to 17 and 18 year olds getting a ton of publicity, you know, getting pulled in a lot of ways. Like, how maturely would we handle recruiting? I don't know. And I'm not even saying he's handled it immaturely. It just feels like there's been ebbs and flows with his recruitment that people have looked more into than it should be. But from a recruiting standpoint, I think he'd be a home run. He reminds me of you remember Caleb Swanigan, the Purdue big man? You know, that dude was a five-star guy, if I remember correctly. Yeldon doesn't have that quite recruiting pedigree, but from a kind of a big, skilled body who can shoot some, play make, I think he's going to be fantastic at the college level, man.
I really do too. I think that if you had to give one knock, it's that he's 6'8", but college basketball is less reliant on 7-footers than it used to be. You know, the guy can put the ball on the floor. He's a terrific passer. He's got great footwork for somebody this young. You don't see that a lot. The guy can stretch the floor. He's a knockdown shooter, and he has been. I mean, he's coming back off of an injury. You know, he's still just a few months fresh off of that, and he looks fantastic right now. I think bringing in a four-star center like him, if we were to land him, that would be huge. I think that he's someone who would be an instant impact player and someone who, if he stays the entirety of his time at Wisconsin, could end up being a foundational type piece.
And that's the next thing I wanted to go to, because he, to me, he's that sweet spot of recruiting where he's going to be a really good college player, but I don't think the NBA is going to drool over him because he is 6'8", and he is a little, I don't want to say soft, but his body type is not the NBA body type for a forward or for a center.
Right. Yeah. I don't think that he possesses, you know, the elite athleticism that the NBA largely requires. I think that he has a lot of the other skills, but I think that the NBA is probably a long shot, which, as you said, is the sweet spot. That's a great spot for the Badgers to be because, I mean, look at a Johnny Davis. We're all very excited about what happened. We're all couldn't be more happy for what he did for the program. He's off to the NBA. And I don't know that, you know, Greg Gard or the Badgers coaching staff would have expected him gone after 2 years. And so now here we are needing to fill a wing void. It's a great problem to have, but it's nice when you have those guys where you know you're going to have them 3-4 years plus.
Yeah. And the Badgers have made a living with those guys, right? Bronson Koenig, Nigel Hayes. I'm just trying to think of other guys who were in that area of really good, but not quite NBA good enough, or not quite NBA toolsy enough is probably the better way to put it.
I mean, he's not the same type of player, but Ethan Happ was that guy. I mean, you know, an All-American level college player, but, you know, his inability to shoot is ultimately what kept him from going league.
Hey, let me ask you about the other thing you brought up with the transfers, because I think this is an interesting discussion with roster management and roster construction, because I agree with you. There is a major need for a backup five. Like, we saw it last year, and I think Crowell's going to make a big leap this offseason, but he may not, right? He may be the same kind of inconsistent player. And even if he does, there's going to be injuries, foul trouble. So I agree with you that a backup five is a big need. However, you and I also just got done talking about the evolution of basketball. And I don't think the Badgers, I think they're light on the wing. I think they're light a defensive, athletic, rangy wing player who, frankly, would play more minutes and probably have a bigger impact than a backup five.
I agree with that. And I think in a perfect world, I would love to see both landed. I would like to see a reserve big man and the wing. I think that they're both honestly going to be critical. After missing out on Northweather, I think that there's probably a decent chance that we do see them pursue guys, two players out of the transfer portal now instead of dipping back into 2022. They don't really have any significant ties there. But I do think that a wing, one that might be capable of jumping into the starting lineup, would be massive. I mean, with the addition of Klesmith, the three core pieces we already have, if we were to add a wing to that, I think the Badgers would be back in business and easily a top half of the Big Ten team.
Yeah, I think the wing to me is the biggest need. And it's more so because the backup five, and I thought Chris Vogt, what he did last year was awesome. I thought he was a really impactful player off the bench, and especially in certain games. But if you could land, well, we've lost defensively. Everyone's going to focus on Johnny Davis offensively. Obviously those are big shoes to fill. But what we lost defensively with Davison and Johnny Davis, we just can't replace it with the transfers we brought in. And I don't think we can expect Neath to be that guy either. I just think we need somebody who can match up with a 6'6 wing.
Yeah, I think that would be the perfect addition. I think they need to be, in a perfect world, bigger than 6'4". They can, you know, defend the two, defend the three in a pinch, switch on to a four, you know, not ideal, but somebody with that defensive versatility and somebody needs to be able to stretch the floor. The offense, Tyler Wall is going to be a huge part of what we're doing next year. And the more shooters you put around him, the more dynamic he is down low.
100% agree. All right, guys, coming up, we got one more segment we're going to get into. Dylan, we're going to turn the floor over to Dylan. He's got an article coming out later on his work where he's going to talk about some impactful players that are coming up potentially inside the program next year. So we're going to turn that over to him on the next segment. But first, today's show is also brought to you by, no other sponsor in this segment. I'll have to edit that part out. Perfect. All right, guys, thank you for listening to Locked On Badgers, your first listen every day. Appreciate you coming on, supporting the show. The likes, the listens, the subscribers have been awesome, really building this community. And it's through guys like Dylan coming on, too, who are just bringing smarter voices to the Badger community. So we're going to bring him back on again, Dylan Graff, USA Today. And I'm going to turn the floor over to you. You kind of wanted to chop it up on some players that you thought could maybe internally make a big leap next year.
Yeah, obviously, we've seen a lot of departures, a lot of players who played significant minutes. But one thing the Badgers have traditionally done well, it's been the next man up. And I know that we lost three players to the transfer portal who might have been prime candidates for those minutes. But I don't think that we are devoid of players that can see some internal growth and make an impact this year. I might be in the minority on this one, but I actually think Jacoby Neath could make a perfect sixth or seventh man this upcoming season if we're able to find a starting three. I think that he can play the two or the three spot. You know, he can post up guards. I don't think he's a terrific shooter, but he is far more athletic than we saw last year. He's coming off of a, you know, a knee injury that required surgery. I think that he can be a really nice utility player off the bench and someone that we're going to be able to count on for probably upwards to 20 minutes if he does regain full health. I think that he has a higher ceiling than Badger fans give him credit for. He came a long way defensively. That was my greatest area of concern for him as he came to Wisconsin. And he actually, at the end of the year, I thought was playing his best ball defensively of the entire season. So he's someone that I'm definitely looking at to, you know, step up, not necessarily into the starting lineup, but be a relied upon contributor off the bench. And then one other player that I might not expect to garner significant minutes, but somebody who I think has a chance to really take a huge step forward is Marcus Ilver. He was somebody who I, you know, entering Wisconsin, I actually thought had really high ceiling. I thought that he would be a bit of a project. And what I saw on the floor last year, kind of, I think that it was that. I think that he might have needed a red shirt. He didn't get play a lot of minutes, and I do think that he looked a little bit out of his class when he was doing that. But he is someone who can stretch the floor. He is athletic, and he has a lot of length. It's why I don't think it's all that pertinent for the Badgers to pick up, you know, another tweener like Ben Carlson, someone who's more of a four, because I think Marcus Ilver can be that. And if he is not ready for that, we do have Carter Gilmore, who Greg Gard does trust, can do a lot of things to gobble up minutes. He's an adequate defender. But I do think that Marcus Ilver is somebody who I'm excited to see what he brings to the table this offseason.
So I love your answers there. Ilver, to me, I agree with you. I'm 100% on Ilver. To me, he's – let me phrase it to you like this. Tell me if you disagree. He may be the only player on the roster that potentially has, like, star ceiling right now.
I would agree with that. He does have a very high ceiling. And playing ball over in Europe, he actually is a very fundamental player. He just needed to grow into his body, and he did enter Wisconsin a little bit bigger than, you know, Greg Garden, his coaching staff, expected. I think that it could take a while to get there. I think that it's going to take, you know, 3 years before we see, you know, a player who could make a significant impact. Mm-hmm. But it would be nice to see him in the rotation earning minutes. And I mean, Wisconsin has traditionally had the people who make those leaps from years 2 to 3, 3 to 4. Think that he might be a prime candidate to do that and earn some minutes.
Yeah, so I agree with you completely on Ilver. I mentioned on a different show, he's almost the barometer of next year's team. Like, they need him to make a jump, because a lot of the other guys are high floor guys, but they're not necessarily. And I'm not. Hepburn is a high floor and a fairly high ceiling guy. Hepburn's great. Tyler Wall's great.
Yeah, absolutely.
Ilver is the type of bigger athlete that can do things they just can't do.
Right, and he might never reach his ceiling,
right,
but he's the kind of guy that you take that chance on. He has the tools you can't teach.
Yeah, sorry. I was just going to jump to Neath quick, because Neath to me is really interesting in the sense of, I thought he was pretty underwhelming for the most part, but I think people also need to realize he was transferring systems. He was hurt a lot. I don't think we saw the version of Jacoby Neath that the coaching staff thought they were bringing in. And he reminds me a little bit of, definitely not the same type of athlete, but if you remember Khalil Iverson, who the Badgers could just use as an athlete in a lot of different ways. I think he could be kind of that for the Badgers.
I think that's a perfect comparison, truthfully. I think that he is more of a true wing, but the things that they bring to the team, I think, can be very similar. And putting an athlete out there, those are the kind of guys that they can provide you more of an impact in limited minutes than, you know, than the alternative in a lot of cases. And I think that he can be that if he does get back to full health. He could offer a lot more off the bench than, say, a Jordan Davis, who I really like. And I think Jordan Davis will be good in a consistent role this coming season. I just think that someone like Jacoby Neath has a higher ceiling and the ability to offer more. I do think Jordan Davis will be another candidate to take a step forward, but I think that he might be 2 years away from being a big time contributor.
Let me ask you, because I was going to get into a couple of players we didn't mention. Jordan Davis is one of them. He came in as a recruit, again, as a guy who was kind of a defensive dog, essentially. And but when people say dog in basketball, it means all the good things, like a defensive guy who could get after you. I didn't see that as much watching him. I think he got better as the year went on. What were your impressions of him defensively?
I was a little bit underwhelmed. I watch every game at least twice, and in a lot of cases, he was someone who I kind of was championing for additional minutes early in the year. And as I rewatched the games, in a lot of cases, he was, shouldn't say a lot of cases, but he was getting lost defensively. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he would mix up a rotation that led to an open three. I think that he has a little place to go defensively. And ultimately, I think that's what kept him from a bigger role last season. I think all of the tools are there. You know, he actually has pretty good length and he's built well for his size. I think he can be a very good defender. He moves his feet well. But if you don't follow the rules at Wisconsin defensively, you don't play.
Let me talk about a couple other guys quick. You mentioned quickly Gilmore. Is this his case where whipping boy is the wrong word, obviously, but like fans, you know, he struggled at times shooting. I think he's a better shooter than he showed. Obviously, the guard trusts him. I think he makes some hustle plays. It was too much criticism for my taste for Carter Gilmore, given the role he was trying to fit. And I just think it might have even got to him a little bit.
I would agree with that. And I think that people need to understand this was a walk-on. Yes, last year he was on scholarship, and he might very well be on scholarship again. But he cracked the rotation ahead of some more highly recruited guys. Mm-hmm. And it's not because that he's more talented. It's because he does the things that you have to do at Wisconsin to stay on the floor. He had the best assist to turnover ratio on the team. That's obviously important. He was out there to be a low usage player who doesn't make mistakes, who can offer a little bit of defensive versatility and get the players who are playing heavy minutes a break. And he offered all of those things. He was not being asked to be anything offensively, and he obviously wasn't. But you need to pay more attention to what he did do rather than what he didn't do, because he was offering something when he was being more relied upon.
You got a little bit of the Jack Dunn treatment, right, where an outsized amount of criticism for really what wasn't that big of a role on the team to begin with.
Right.
What about Lindsey? So Lindsey is actually kind of a dark horse for me. I like the size. I love the shooting form. I love the confidence, right? He comes in into the NCAA tournament game. He's in there for 3 seconds and he jacks up a three in the corner, which frankly I love. I think this team can use more of that. 100% stones. And he missed it, of course, because we missed every 3-point shot we took last year. Right. But I think the form is really good. I like the length. I think that's a guy who could come in and maybe be a Tim Jarmusch, you know, that type of player.
I'm really excited to see, you know, what he's looking like come the red right scrimmage or any of that. Cause I do think he has a chance. And as you said, he entered a game during the NCAA tournament. And while it was a little bit of a dart throw, it still shows that he was the next man up in the rotation. He was viewed highly enough that he could be in a game of that magnitude. I think he has a shot. He's going to be a part of the competition. I mean, I don't think by any means that you can write him off. I mean, Connor Seijan, him, Klesmit, they all three of those, Jordan Davis for that matter, there's going to be a battle for minutes, and there are plenty of candidates. Isaac Lindsey does offer something. I mean, let's not forget, he was a scholarship athlete to UNLV. This is a high-level walk-on who absolutely can push for minutes this year.
Let me give you two more over-unders. We're going to get on that because I've already taken about 30 minutes of your day. Over-under Asigian next year, 10 minutes a game.
I'll take the under.
I would too. That's
I think I see him eight. Probably redshirting.
Let me say, really? See, I think he's going to play. But even as I said 10 minutes, I'm like, that's too aggressive. But yeah, I think he's going to play. I think they need the shooting, even with what they've brought in.
I'd love to see him, you know, if he finds a way into the eighth, ninth man, I think that would be highly encouraging for what's to come in the future.
Buy or sell. Here's the last one for the show. Buy or sell. And we talked about it over a little bit. I want to circle back to him to finish this off. Is it at some level, at least a little concerning, given how poor our depth was last year, how bad the bench was, how poor our shooting was, that a guy with that type of that size, that athletic ability, couldn't find a way to get some type of meaningful rotational minutes?
I do think so a little bit. I often wondered at times when we were without Ben Carlson, you know, we were without options off the bench, and it seemed as though he was never considered. You know, he was very much running with the walk-ons at the very end of games. It is a little bit concerning. It was his first year stateside. You know, I think so. The jury's still out on him. I believe in the film that I've seen of him coming out of high school and at the prep school level, but he clearly has quite a ways to go. The opportunity is there. It's there for the taking. It's up to him to take it.
Yeah, I agree. To me, it is a red flag, even though we both spent basically the entire show calling him the next, you know, Dirk Nowitzki. It is a bit of a red flag that the bench was that. I mean, we were gutted at the end of the year, and just to not be able to find 5 minutes for him, it's got to make you wonder at least what Greg Gard is seeing in practice and where he's at. But as you said, the book is definitely not written on that. All right, guys, that's going to wrap up the show today. As always, Dylan Graff is one of the smartest, most insightful Badger voices on Twitter out there. So we're going to keep him coming on the show. We had a lot of good feedback from people listening to the show when Dylan was on here. So he makes me look good. You know, the job is to get him on here and then just get out of his way. So make sure you follow him. Give it a listen. I thank you guys, as always, for making Locked On Badgers the first listen every day. And we'll catch you tomorrow.